So look, I want to build on what Stephen was saying earlier about Jesus saying, feed my lambs. And just the idea there that he's communicating something very subtle to Peter in that moment. And what he's saying is, hey, it's not all about you. Like you know, the idea here is that you're going to go and make disciples. And we're going to have to make some points of entry for people who are on the outside who want to come in. People who feel like they've been left out or they've been thrown out or they've been left behind by God's work somehow. And they're wanting on the inside. And we got to be careful that we don't put up unnecessary barriers to exclude people. But we've got to recognize the gospel is for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall believe in him shall receive eternal life in his name. And he says, so we got to realize that the mission is to go and make disciples. The mission is to call out to everyone, to go to the highways and the byways and say, there is good news for you.
Amen.
Jesus died to offer you forgiveness of sins, salvation, eternal life through faith in him. So listen, Matthew 21:13, we're going to look at this passage and we're going to tie it in a little bit and building on what Stephen said about welcoming people from the outside in. Today we're going to look at going to the Lord in prayer. And I have that phrase, that hymn in my mind, take it to the Lord in prayer. Because we have a prayer room. We have a space that one of our expansions is we're expanding our prayer ministry. And so I really have that in my mind today as I'm thinking about our future as a church and realizing that we must be a people of prayer. And so how does this idea of being a people of prayer go? How does it relate to the Great Commission to go in to make disciples, or to this idea of making a way for people on the outside to come in? So we're going to look at that together today. Because listen, God's intent is that our church grow, not just for numbers' sake, but for people's sake, for the gospel's sake, for his name's sake, because he has told us to make disciples of all nations. And so let's turn right here to Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. I've got several passages that I'm going to be reading today. I'm going to tell you one thing else that you'll notice. I've talked about the sensory room for our special needs ministry. I've just briefly mentioned the prayer ministry. Also, you're going to start seeing some changes, and I've talked about that since the day I arrived. But one of the things you're going to see, we're going to start utilizing these TV screens. So we're going to be setting them up on the floor. Michael and Randy are already working at that, so we'll be able to put our verses up on the screen when we read passages. We'll be able to put our lyrics up and announcements up. If you're like most of you are not like me, but I'm going to tell you, I have a tough time flipping all my pages, and I'm trying to hold my bulletin, I'm trying to hold my Bible, I'm trying to keep track of things. And so sometimes, boy, it will be nice when we're able to put our lyrics up and I can just worship a little bit more freely. Anyway, the Lord's moving and he's guiding us and directing us and bringing us so many blessings. That's just one of them. So listen, Jesus says in Matthew 21, or the word tells us, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, earlier in the chapter than what I intended to read. We're going to jump down to verse 12. So, sorry. that's a great passage too, although 21:1-11. I could just preach. Y'all want a double message today? We could do it. So, I'm glad you're here today, brother. I miss you when you're not here. So, verse 12 is where we'll pick up, okay? Jesus entered the temple courts and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers or a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of God," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," Jesus replied, "have you not read from the lips of children and infants? You, Lord, have called forth your praise." And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany where he spent the night. So here we see another instance of the indignation at all the great things that Jesus was doing. And the children sees it, but these skeptics and these opponents were criticizing Jesus and they were condemning others who were following after Jesus. And Jesus comes and he says, "Listen, my work is not about consumerism. It's not about exploitation. It's not about taking advantage of people," because that's one of the things that was being done here. If you dig a little bit deeper into this passage, you realize that they were supplying the doves and the other items were supplies that people would need for their temple sacrifices. But there was a huge markup and there was this great injustice that was taking place. And so they were charging people these exorbitant amounts for these items that would be required for the ceremony of their religious festivals and their sacrifices and ceremonies. And so Jesus comes in and he's indignant. Notice here the indignation, the anger, the righteous anger of Jesus, because God's house and God's place of worship is being abused. Compare that to the anger of the people who were angry because children were following Jesus and because people were following Jesus. So there's a stark contrast here. And as we look at this passage, we look and we say, well, which camp are we going to fall into? Are we going to be the camp who looks at people and sees people as an end to meet our means so that we can grow our ministry or we can have bigger programs or better buildings or all that? No, our desire is to bring people to the Lord. Amen. That's our motive. Yes. That's our motivation. And so you all know, we drive by and we see some of these extravagant places that have been built in the name of religion. And we see these empires that have been established because people have taken advantage of others and their need for the Lord. And so that can't be our heart. That can't be our intent. And so that's what Jesus does when he turns over those temples. He's saying, my house shall be called a house of, say it with me, yes, prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. He's quoting there from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 56, verse 7. So we're going to back up and we're going to look at that passage and we're going to see how this idea, this theme is woven throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament of the outsiders coming to God and the relationship of prayer to that process of making disciples. Isaiah 56, 7, I'll give you just a second to find it or you can listen as I read along in my copy of the Scriptures. Now, it's interesting, we see that statement where he says, my house will be called a house of prayer. It's not, that exact language is not used in Isaiah 56, 7. But I want to kind of give you the context here. And Isaiah, if you read the whole passage, it would be worth you taking the time this afternoon or this week to read Isaiah 56. And what Isaiah is talking about here, he's talking about the Lord's temple, and he's talking about the Lord's presence. And he singles out two interesting groups of people. One is the eunuchs who've committed themselves to the Lord, and the other is the foreigner, okay? And the eunuchs and the foreigners who desire to come and to serve the Lord in the temple. And he singles them out. And he does so because he's wanting to basically make it clear that he has created a space for all people. And so the eunuchs, he says, you know, you may feel like that your lineage has been cut out. You may feel like you don't have a future. Okay? And he says, but there's a place here for you. And the foreigners, he says, you know, those who have dedicated themselves to come and to worship me, even though they're not Israelites, they've come from other lands, and they're God-fearers, is what the Bible sometimes calls them. They've dedicated themselves to the Lord. And he says, even though you're coming from the outside in, many people may think that you're not going to be included, but you're included. And so, so let's look here at Isaiah 56, 7. I'll rip back up and read 6 because it's kind of 7's an end of a sentence. He says, and the foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant. So he's speaking to those who commit themselves to him, okay? Not just anybody and everybody, not just random, but he's saying those who desire to come to me, all who desire to come to me, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of what?
Prayer.
Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So there's that phrase where he says, my house will be called a house of prayer. For who? All nations. Everyone. Whosoever would come. And so here we see the link between prayer and the Great Commission, making disciples. What is God's desire? That people would come from all nations. The book of Revelation gives us a portrait of heaven, and it says there will be people from every tribe and every tongue gathered around the throne to worship him.
Hallelujah.
And so our desire is to see fulfillment of that in our generation, in our days, in our ministry, to say, listen, the Lord has opened the way. That heavy curtain of the temple, it was torn when Jesus died on the cross. It was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying God coming down to us, opening the door for anyone who would come to him. Okay? So listen, Isaiah 56, we see that heart of God reflected there to say, I'm creating a place for all people. It's a house of prayer for all nations. No matter your background, no matter your economic status, no matter your culture, no matter your race, everyone can turn to the Lord and he will hear them and he will receive them when we repent and we turn to him through faith in Jesus. So check it out also. There's another key word that he uses here in this passage. Isaiah 56, verse 6 and 7, he says, there will be, what is he going to give in his house of prayer? I will bring them to my holy mountain and I will give them what? I'll give them joy. I will give them joy. I'm going to tell you guys something. When the Lord talks about giving us joy, it's not something we can just conjure up. Not something we can manufacture. I mean, it's the joy of the Lord. And he tells us the joy of the Lord is our stronghold. It is our strength. Okay? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, I want to preach through Nehemiah so bad. So sometime this year, we're going to go through the book of Nehemiah together. But, you know, he just says, look, that's your stronghold. That's your place of advancement. You're going to advance the mission. You're going to advance God's objective from his stronghold of joy. Do you have the joy of the Lord today?
Hallelujah.
So, look, I know it's early. I know you've kind of been put through the ringer at Bible school this week. But if we have the joy of the Lord in our heart, it needs to make its way to our face. Okay? Some of y'all don't. I mean, come on, smile. Try. Let's try. Some of those smile muscles may not have been exercised in quite a while, okay? But if we have the joy of the Lord in our heart, it's going to be reflected in our face. What do we sing with the children? If you're happy and you know it, Okay, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and your face will surely show it. I want to challenge us, myself included. Let's do a little better job of letting our face show it. Okay? Because we want to create an environment for people to come and hear the gospel.
Hallelujah.
And
yes, Lord.
I don't want to come be around a bunch of people, I'm so glad. I'm thinking of a song right now, you know, it's like, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Blah, blah, blah. Guys, we got to do better.
Amen.
He is worthy.
Yes,
he is worthy.
Yes, thank you.
And so let's do better at just putting a smile on our face and not trying to pretend. I don't want you to pretend. I'm not going to pretend. But our countenance ought to be that we're experiencing the joy of the Lord. So he's making this promise in Isaiah 56, 7 to eunuchs and to foreigners, to those who feel like they may have been excluded from God's blessings, to all nations. He's saying everyone is invited. Everyone, and he's focused here on eternal promises. And his joy is like a deposit. The Holy Spirit's our deposit, guarding us and guiding us heavenward. And the joy is a byproduct of the presence of the Lord. So listen, Solomon, as he's dedicating the temple, it's as though he's looking forward and he's anticipating this fact and this reality. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 41 through 43, where Solomon's praying, he's dedicating the temple. And I want to read that to you. 1 Kings 8, 41. You know, and remember, what we're doing is we're just taking that statement where Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. And we're saying, well, as it's written, my house, where was that written? Where was that said? Who's Jesus quoting here? So coming back to Isaiah 56, and then now in 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're thinking about prayer, we're also thinking about people on the outside coming in. You know what? All of us at one point, we were on the outside. You realize that, right? We are all born into our sins and trespasses. We are sinners, not just by act, but by nature. We've inherited the sinful nature from Adam. And so we all are in need of salvation. We're all in need of a Savior. We were all on the outside, storing up for ourselves God's wrath for the day of judgment. And if it weren't for His grace and His love for us, then that's where we'd be. We'd be lost in our sins. So He says this, as for the foreigner, that's me. That's you. We all were on the outside, okay? And now we're citizens of heaven now, but when we were born, we were not that way. We were aliens and strangers, foreigners. So as for the foreigners who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name. So they've heard of God's name. They've heard of His renown. And they said, I want to be part of that. That's what I need. Guys, there are men and women all around us in our community. And they are like foreigners. They're like strangers, spiritually speaking. They're on the outside. They look at you and they see the goodness of God in your life. And they see that smile on your face in the midst of pain and difficulty. And they say, I don't know what you got, but I want it.
Amen.
We made a hospital visit this week to one of our dear, faithful church members. She's been in this church a very long time. And she's laying in the hospital bed, facing surgery, a radical surgery the next day. And you know what I couldn't get over? You know what I just couldn't get past? She lay there and she was smiling. She was beaming the entire time. It's your grandmother, right? And she, I mean, I'm like, we walked out of that hospital room. I said, man, if that doesn't encourage you, like, and it convicts me, it's like she's here and she's radiating her joy and the love for the Lord. And then how could we not just live more fully for Him? It was such an encouragement to spend time with her. So as a foreigner who does not belong to your people, Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name. And by the way, this is not an immigration policy statement here. Okay, so let's try. Don't let your mind go there. Verse 42, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. They're going to hear, you know, so-and-so, he has been sober for 3 years. No, so-and-so, they went through this horrible tragedy, but somehow they still have held it together. You know what? They are going through this financial hardship that I really know about, but how do they still have joy? This family right here, they face so much uncertainty. They face so many challenges and so many difficulties. But yet, you know, you never know it. This guy over here, he's suffering physically. He's got pain every day. But you know what? You wouldn't ever know it unless you really know him. How do they do that? People look and they see God's mighty hand at work in your life as a believer. So in verse 42, when they come and they pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. Amen. Look, take that passage. Meditate on it this week. Pray over it this afternoon. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to recognize that what God did there is parallel, and it served as a foundation to help us understand what He would do in our lives as believers. So that's what's taking place. When we look, He was speaking to the immediate context and the immediate culture and the immediate events of dedicating the temple. But we can fast forward because we live on the other side of the cross under the new covenant. And we can recognize that there's some spiritual things being said to us here where He says, you know what? There's people who don't know the Lord. And we want to live such a life. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Yes. So what that glorification looks like is people coming to Jesus because they see Christ in you. Amen. So He says, may you know that this house I have built, or may they know that this house I've built bears your name. That ought to be our position as believers. Lord, you've blessed me. Lord, you're blessing our ministry. Lord, the house that you're building, let others know that it bears your name. Not my will, but thy will be done. It's all for His glory, right? So, and that's why it's so imperative that we just dedicate ourselves to Him more fully and we live more fully for Him. So look, there's a connection between prayer and taking the gospel out and then seeing others come in, because they're going to hear of His great name. They're going to see what God has done in your life, and they're going to praise Him because of it. Psalm 34:3 this week, we said, let us magnify the Lord together. So let's glorify God's great name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt His name together. Now, with regard to prayer, we're going to be a house of prayer. Remember, that's where this all started, where Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. A byproduct of that prayer is joy, the joy of the Lord. It's the stronghold of our life, is His joy and His presence. It's a byproduct because the true treasure is Christ in us, Jesus, the hope of glory. So then as we pray, we recognize 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, tell us the weapons that we fight with are not of this world, but He has given us spiritual weapons that will demolish the enemy's spiritual strongholds. The greatest first of those weapons is prayer. That's why we're dedicating a prayer room, so that we can enhance our prayer ministry and expand our prayer ministry. Amen. And the thing about prayer, we can't just talk about it. Can't just read about it. Can't just study it. We've got to be committed to be a people of prayer. And we can't just relegate it to 8 or 10 people that show up on Wednesday nights. We can't contain it just to Sunday morning. We can't box it in into that little room. But that room is going to be a strategic hub where we mobilize the church to pray.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So I want you to be part of that. We had people that have already been working, laying a foundation for this. And it's going to be pretty exciting. And I think it's going to be revolutionary for our ministry.
Yeah.
Brenda was in our prayer room this week for VBS. Just being present, praying for people. And but guys, we're going to do so much with our prayer ministry. And it's going to be a foundation for every other thing that we do in the church. So look, maybe you're here today, and maybe it's been a while since you've prayed. Just if you were to be just really sincere and really honest. And I don't mean just throwing up, oh, Lord, help me. I'm going 95 miles per hour on 575. Oh, Lord, make my car invisible because I just passed that police officer. Okay? So it's like, he's not going to do that. But I'm talking about just really consistent, dedicated time of prayer in your life. So maybe that's where you are, but maybe it's not. You can start right now today. We're going to take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer. And after a moment of just quiet reflection, allow the Lord to speak to you today. Ask Him what He wants you to receive out of His Word today. And then in just a moment, we're going to sing Just As I Am. We'll do a couple of verses of that together as we just examine what the Lord's trying to tell us individually. How does His Word apply to your life today? What's He calling you to do? Who's He calling you to be in response to what He's showing you in His Word today? So let's pray together. Father God, we come before You today, Lord, with grateful hearts, Lord, magnifying Your name, praising Your name because You are worthy. God, You're the Creator of life. You're our Redeemer, our Rescuer. God, You came after us even while we were going astray. Lord, even when we blow it, even when we do things that we know are wrong or we don't do the things we know to be right, God, even then, Lord, Your Word tells us that even while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And then You tell us beyond that, if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just and You forgive us of our sin. And You cleanse us from all that unrighteousness, not because of any special thing about us, but because of Your great, great love. And so, God, we just praise You today. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to You this morning as we go to live our life this week. We know, God, we have failed You. We know we've fallen short, Lord, in so many areas. God, we just take a moment to acknowledge that before You today and ask for Your forgiveness. And then ask that You would guide us and direct us. And Lord, that You would, Lord, You would allow us to be a blessing to others by sharing Your presence, Your love, Your message of salvation with the world. God, maybe today's a day of turning for somebody. Maybe today's a day of surrender. Maybe today's a day of letting go. Maybe today's a day of commitment. Lord, however You're seeking to lead us forward in faith, I pray that right now, during this time, God, we would make those decisions. You would give us wisdom. Lord, You'd give us understanding into Your will. And then, Lord, You'd give us the courage to act, to take those steps of faith forward that You're calling us to. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.